back off, man. Back off. Don't microaggress me, dude.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Odd Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios in the corner of Trashview and Atavista. We alter your locus ceruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Put on your 3D glasses now. Going to warm your brain to a tasty and toasty
365
degrees. Can you feel it, Michael? Can you feel it right now? Really?
Oh, yes. Yes. Love your kids, not your guns.
Exactly. So the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I made a meme the other day. Do you know that reusable, what do they call reusable memes? Exploitables. I like that name. Because, you know, we're all exploited in one way or another. It's the world. And we're all probably exploiting people in one. That's what liberals think libertarianism is just everyone exploiting everyone. But actually, what we have right now, the current society, is everyone exploiting everyone and the government picking the winners and losers of who gets to exploit whom. And the government also, like, putting people in situations where two people have to interact and neither of them like it. Like, I talked the other day about this. TSA agents, you really think they like feeling up grandma's diapers? I don't think so. I think they are like, man, what is the world? What has my life come to? I actually knew a guy who used to be cool and then joined the NSA. And I asked him, like, or not the NSA, the TSA. And I,
small difference.
TSA is like people that are too stupid to be in the NSA, basically. Not that the people in the NSA are great people. They just have to be a little smarter. They have to, like, be able to turn on a computer. Whereas the people in the TSA just have to be able to feel people's underwear. Ugh. And
so this guy worked,
you know,
for the
he
TSA?
Said he hated it. He hated it. Yeah, he's like, yeah, man, I don't like it. I don't like having to do this. It's creepy. But, you know, I was like, why are you doing it? He's like, well, I got married. I got a kid. I can't get a job. You know, I don't really have any marketable skills. And, you know, because he had a bachelor's degree in God, what was it, like, you know, one of those basket weaving kind of degrees kids get now. I don't know, not civil engineering, more like civil
communications
or something. Yeah. Well, that's what I have an associate degree in communications, but hey, I'm communicating and getting paid here. So yeah. But, you know, well, I don't know. We get enough donations to cover our expenses and for me to buy stickers. Oh, we have new Biptunia stickers. They're awesome. Go to Biptunia. That's my band. Biptunia, Bravo India Papa Tango Uniform November India Alpha, Biptunia.com. And, yeah. You can send me stickers. I'll send you stickers if you send me a couple bucks. $5, I'll send you 3 stickers anywhere in the U.S. $6, I'll send you 3 stickers anywhere in the world.
I can endorse Biptunia.
I usually throw in a few extra stickers. Have you heard Biptunia yet? Are you too busy on your vision quests? Oh, good.
I tend to get busy on that stuff. It's true, and especially with, like, the new cult activity stuff I've got going on.
I know. You're into weird cults, man. I'm in my own cults.
It's kind of like I'm on an island, right? And there's communities of people, right? I could choose to completely be isolated. That's a possibility. But I also choose to
here in Wyoming
networks
too.
Of people who become my clients, some of them. And I make back that way.
I know. You talk about your clients like they're, you know, your minions.
Well, yeah, I just cultivate them and they make me more
cultivate.
You know?
You cultivate them. Yeah.
Right. But let's not bury the meme. What's the meme that you made? I gotta know.
Okay, the meme. So thank you very much for bringing me back, not letting me talk myself out onto a limb and then fall down and forget and fall in the 9 inches of snow we got in one day today in Wyoming.
That's my job.
I didn't know if I was going to be – that's why you get the big virtual bucks. yeah, man, I didn't know if I was going to be on the air tonight. Because last time this happened, like, we were without power for 21 hours in the winter, which is not fun. But, you know, it's not like in New Jersey where people shoot – you know, run each other over trying to steal their food when that happens. We're set. We could get by.
We are so set. I even proved I can do a show without you. but
I know you were great, man.
Good with
you're
you.
Great. Yeah, it's better with me. So there's a meme called there's a reusable meme, like where there's a panel of images and then you put in your own words. That's called an exploitable. There's an exploitable called the expanding mind, and you'd probably kind of like this. You've seen it, I'm sure, and it's got four panels that look like illustrations from a book about like reaching nirvana or meditation or something. They show like different states of enlightenment of the mind. And, you know, the first one is like a silhouette of a head with a small brain inside of it. And then the next one's like a normal sized brain, but it's kind of glowing, like someone who's kind of woke and enlightened. And then the next one is like a brain that's like pulsing energy out into the universe. And then the last one's like pulsing energy out into the universe to the point where it's like forming another ethereal being above the person's head that's pulsing energy out in the universe. You seen that one?
I've seen this one.
Yeah. And the way it generally goes is like the first three are actually increasing states of enlightenment or wokeness. And then the last one is usually kind of ironic, but kind of true too. And I made one and it was like the first one, the small brain was, it was labeled at the top response to school shooting. The small brain says ban all guns. The kind of enlightened brain says better background checks. The very enlightened brain says arm the teachers, and the totally enlightened brain says there was a shooting. Huh? I was busy trading crypto.
Yeah, I love that.
And somebody I posted that on right Punk there. Rock on Punk Rock Libertarians, and someone who doesn't get that meme and get that the last one is usually sort of ironic said like this meme more than anything I've ever seen sums up what's wrong with libertarians. And I don't know.
We don't care about the children.
I know, Michael. I know. I mean, I think it's horrible when people shoot people, and I think there's I think when they shoot a bunch of kids, they're shooting the wrong people. I'm kidding. I mean, they shouldn't shoot kids, but you know, why shoot people that didn't do anything? You don't shoot anybody. I'm not saying you should shoot anybody. So when this happens, like invariably. You know, interesting with this kid was like he had an overbearing father and a coddling mother. That's an interesting combination that often yields this kind of, you know, bad behavior, let's say.
What is this alleged suspect's name or proven
I don't know.
Guilty person's
don't,
name?
Don't say his name. They say don't say his name. No, I don't care. I just don't know his name. I don't care.
Exactly.
I don't care.
I couldn't be bothered.
Like, I don't care about the details. Like, I don't fall into the sheeple of, like, every time this happens, getting my limbic system in a twist and, you know, screaming and there must be something done. And, like, I'm looking at my newsfeed right now and it's, like, the top five out of the top eight things show, like, crying children, like, holding candles and things.
I've seen some friends of mine who happen to be, I guess, what are those called? Progressively oriented school teachers over in Vermont and things like that. And
Yeah.
They seem to be an amygdala storm of pain and misery based upon just what's going on with them. Just that they're just
well, they get
so
off on it though.
Agony.
They enjoy it. Like it, you know, it takes them off. It takes their mind off of the fact that Donald Trump's governor or president or whatever he is. I don't even know. See, like I think the like another meme. We should make another expanding brain meme. Where like the first one is probably, you know. Vote Libertarian Party. And the second one is, or the first one would be like, you know, vote Democrat or Republican. The second would be vote Libertarian Party. Third one, the more woke one would be like, vote, huh? Why? And the fourth one would be like, who's president? Really? I you know, there's something to be said for like knowing a lot about what's going on in the world, which would be the third out of the fourth most lit. But the most lit one, and kind of the ironic one, too, is like, who cares what's going on, man? It doesn't affect me, you know?
Can I say to the audience what lit means or woke means? You know, just because some people.
Yeah, sure, man.
Okay. So my opinion, what Michael's trying to say, and I think what you're trying to say, I'm sorry, is basically that when you put things together, you realize that taking care of your own, putting your own house in order, meaning what's basically within your sphere of influence and your spheres of control. This is basic Stoicism 101, like which we had our former fiend, like Bill Bupert, right there, covering Bupert. All this. Bupert, excuse me.
Bupier.
Yeah, anyway, Bupert, Mr. Bupier yeah. covered this really clearly when he was just covering, like,
oh, yeah.
you know what was in is in your sphere of influence, and the president is not it, and the military is not it. Therefore, you don't have a country.
Yeah, he's
therefore
he's,
you don't have because it's out of your control. So you take care
Bill's
of your own
so woke,
business.
Man. Bill is so woke. Yeah,
and that's
have
woke.
Him on the show.
And that's
he's
being really
woke.
Lit.
Like awake, Bill. Awake, awake, yeah. lit. It's like knowing the truth, having your eyes open. Yeah,
right. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Did I get it correctly? You think?
Yeah, you did, and I'm glad you explained it. But I kind of wonder. I guess lit can mean drunk too. So I'm glad you explained it. But it seems to me like lit and woke would kind of be. Self-explanatory, but maybe not. I don't know.
I think maybe he's woke.
If you went to government school, it's hard to be lit and woke until, you know, here's the thing. Like I'm more concerned. I'm more worried about what my city council does and my state reps do than what the president does. Yeah.
Yeah. It's concerning over here. You know, they got like anti-crypto law kind of things in the, you know, as bills and stuff.
Yeah, I mean you can use crypto without anyone knowing about it too, though.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm not as concerned.
If you're really woke, you have a VPN. If you're woke, you know you jump through the hoops and you worry about it. And if you're really woke, you're like, what governments? What? I don't care what they do.
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
VPN so. Encryption, a three key combination that shuts down your computer and re-encrypts it immediately when you hear a knock at the door or you hear the flash bang. Yeah. You know, that's why when they went after the Silk Road guy, they went in with guns blazing in that public library. They went into the, you know, goons went in the library. Was they afraid that he would, like, you know, hit some combination of keys on his little Linux laptop and re-encrypt it?
Wow.
I think he could have. Would they have shot him, you know? I mean don't you have a little mirror on your I have a little mirror on my I could see if someone's behind me. Yeah.
You know,
I have cameras. I have
I
alarms.
Mean, I know we're I have cats. Running out of time, but like there's a thing called a dead man switch, and if he had set that up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like
a foot pedal. You'd have a foot pedal. like a piano foot pedal. Like electric piano foot pedal.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be back. After these very woke trips to the market and woke products.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Okay, yeah. So, here's an article that's like straight out of The Simpsons. Bitcoin thieves threaten real violence for virtual cryptocurrencies. Do you have this up? Do you have this ready?
Not.
To read?
Almost. I just need a second.
Let me know when you do.
And I got it.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what. There was a Simpsons before Bitcoin existed, like probably in the first, you know, 10 seasons of the Simpsons. It's in season like 29 now. You know, Bitcoin's been around for 10 years. 11 years, right? 2009? 2007 yeah. years?
2009, January 3rd, 2009, Bitcoin.
Yeah, 2008. Yeah, it's almost 10 years. And this was about 20 years ago. There was a, maybe 25 years ago, there was a Simpsons where an internet cafe opened up in Springfield and Lisa wanted to go. She was all excited. And Homer said, and this is a great line I still use sometimes, internet, is that thing still around? And they go to the internet, and Homer starts, like, gambling online in the internet cafe, and he's, like, makes a bunch of money, and the town robber in Springfield, Snake, you know, the big kind of burly thug with a DA haircut, you know, greased back, greaser haircut, and comes in with a gun and says, yo, totally, give me your money, dude. And, like, hands Homer a 3.5-inch floppy disk. And Homer sticks it in the computer. Or he just sticks it in Homer's computer and presses a button. And it goes, pew! And you see the money, like, you know, like the thermometer of money go down to zero. And then Snake takes the... Who's named after Snake Plissken?
Snake Plissken from Escape yeah. from New York. Yeah.
Yeah, Escape from New York and Escape from L.A., yeah. And he kind of looks like him, he kind of sounds like him, which was Kurt Russell, right?
Young,
sexy Kurt Russell. Yeah, so, and then Snake, like, says, yoink, and takes the thing out, and he's like, later, computators, and runs off. He, like, steals... virtual currency with a gun before Bitcoin. So this is an actual New York Times? What are we looking at here? New York Times. So read some of this here. It's pretty amazing.
Gotcha.
Man.
So the currency they were after was virtual.
Oh, careful when you say the name of this place in Thailand. It's a wobbler on radio. Go on.
Yeah, okay. So the currency they were after was virtual, but the guns they carried were anything but. In a beach resort of Phuket, Thailand, last
month, nice.
The Phuket, assailants...
Yes. Phuket. Can you say that on radio?
Yep,
yeah, Phuket. If you pronounce it correctly. All right.
Yeah. The assailants pushed their victim, a young Russian man, into his apartment and kept him there, blindfolded until he logged onto his computer and transferred about $100,000 worth of Bitcoin to an online wallet that they controlled. A few weeks
now,
before
now,
that,
first of all, let me interject here. How did he do it if he was blindfolded? Secondly, you know, if you're really going to be smart about this, you would transfer it to you would have him send his Bitcoin to an exchange and have them cash it out as Monero, so it's untraceable. But go on.
Right. Okay. So he was blindfolded until he got into his apartment, until that apartment.
Ah, okay.
And then he logged into his computer and transferred about $100,000 worth of Bitcoin to an online wallet that they controlled. A few weeks before that, the head of Bitcoin exchange in Ukraine was taken hostage and only released after the company paid a ransom of $1 million in Bitcoin. In New York City, a man was held captive by a friend until he... Not
a friend?
A friend. Until he transferred over $1.8 million worth of Ether, a virtual currency second in value only to Bitcoin.
No, it's not second to Bitcoin.
Okay, so it's high up in market value. How about
Ripple? Let's look it up here. Yeah, go on. I'll look it up. Yoink. Oh, it is number two now. Ripple was number two for a while.
Yeah, the rich have always feared robbery and extortion. And now, big holders of Bitcoin and its brethren have become alluring marks for criminals, especially since the prices of virtual currencies have entered the stratosphere last year. So virtual currencies can be easily transferred to an anonymous address set up by a criminal. Or a person. A regular person, too. While banks can stop or reverse large electronic transactions made under duress, there is no Bitcoin bank to halt or take back a transfer, making the chances of a successful armed holdup frighteningly enticing. So,
you know, Davy Barker, when Davy Barker was on The Fiends, Davy Barker runs a... what is this thing called?
Bitcoin
Airdrop?
Bombs. No.
Yeah, which is like teaches people that raise money for good. What are those called? You know,
philanthropists or altruists.
There's another word for it. It's escaping me now. But yeah, teaches you know, people that do that raise money for good things, how to use cryptocurrencies. He and I joked on this show about 4 years ago about that he should go teach thieves, teach muggers in San Francisco.
Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Yeah. So the fourth Biptunia album, is going to be called Short Circuit at the Sheep Factory. Sheep Factory's public school, and the Short Circuit produced Phil and I, who are Biptunia. So let's talk more about this article in the New York Times. Bitcoin thieves threaten real violence for virtual currencies. This just sounds like FUD to scare people off of buying current cryptocurrencies. But there's, you know, a picture. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. People can steal stuff that is valuable. Newsflash.
You know, really, like, people can steal it. The moral of this story is own things quietly. Like, there's a, I'm on a group on Facebook. I think you're on it too, called Anacrypt version 2, Lambros, hookers, and blow, which is, you know, Lamborghinis, prostitutes. If people don't know what a hooker is, it's a prostitute, and cocaine is blow. That's what the kids are calling it. You know, I really want to make a meme. I got to make this meme that says, Bitcoin's horrible. You can't snort drugs with a rolled up Bitcoin. That'd be
now.
Fun.
Wait a second. I want to say that I'm in this group with you.
We do not take drugs.
Yeah. I'm in this group with you, and this is artistic license. It's hyperbole.
It's irony. It's irony. Yeah.
It's irony. Although
the guy who started it does have an Audi, which is like a poor man's. The poor man's Lamborghini. It's a starter Lambo, I guess. No.
Yeah, for it probably can outdrive it, you know.
Yeah, I don't
probably,
know.
You know.
I mean, Lamborghini, you know, there's nowhere in America you can legally drive it that really takes advantage of its abilities. But, yeah, and that's made by Virgil Viduva, who owns...
Cell 411.
Who owns Cell 411 and an Audi that he bought from cryptocurrencies. And I mean, it's not, I'm not saying it's a bad car. I mean, his Audi is probably, you know, low six figures, whereas a Lambo is, you know, mid, I don't know, an Audi's like $100,000 and Lambos start at like $200,000, something like that. Phil, a Lambo, you get a Lambo without the radio for $200,000, I think. Yeah. Radio. Do people have radios in cars anymore? No, they have.
I don't understand why people listen to the radio.
Docking decks.
And here I am talking on the radio.
Wow. You're insane. Radio's wonderful. And so are all of our advertisers that we have on radio and the good people who run radio and the Cell 411, which you can get from GetCell411, which is something you could do if you were being robbed for Bitcoin. You know, you could have like a three-key combination on your phone or your laptop to automate. You could have the panic button for Cell 411, which is Cell 411 is free, and you set up cells with your friends of people you want to call instead of the cops when you have an emergency. And there's actually a panic button, which costs like $30, which is Bluetooth. And, you know, it replaces that I've fallen and I can't get up system, which is like $1,000 or $2,000 a year. And that system calls the police no matter what. You know,
really?
When the police. Yeah. The I've fallen and I can't get up. They call the police or the ambulance. They call 911.
Right.
You know, what they do is. If you issue an alert, they call you on the phone because most of those are accidental. And if you don't, sir, then they call 911 and probably the police, the ambulance, and the fire truck show up. And a lot of municipalities now when you falsely call 911 or call 911 accidentally or have it called for you accidentally, they charge you for showing up. And having the, you know what they charge for the ambulance, the police, and a fire truck showing up? Thousands.
Thousands.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
So that,
so more and more, like important. If you called the police and said, you know, my Bitcoin was stolen, first of all, you'd put yourself on a list of people who own Bitcoin, and the police would watch you because they don't understand that this is money. They think it's magical money made for buying drugs, which it's not. That's actually Monero. But Monero is like Bitcoin, but if you do it right, you can't trace the transactions. Bitcoin is more traceable than $100 bills. It's,
right,
it's less anonymous
about the,
than $100 bills.
So, like, in the last segment, I was reading, well, both of us were reading a little bit from this article about describing a variety of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency thefts. And then we see this point, this, you directed me further down the article to show this.
The picture.
Really, that picture is just priceless, you know.
Sad. It's a nice apartment, or probably a hotel. It says police in Phuket, Thailand. Now, I got a joke here because I lived in San Francisco and odd to visit Arrow and Fell streets. And four blocks away, we used to go to the restaurant, the Thai restaurant at to visit Arrow and Haight Street. And it's called Phuket, Phuket. We called it something else. I can't say on radio, but.
Yeah. Yes. So there they are sitting on the couch.
I'm going to, it rhymes with Ducket. So I'm going to Ducket. You want anything? Yeah. So there's this couple, this picture in this New York Times article. It says, police in Phuket, Thailand said attackers held a young Russian man in his apartment until he transferred $100,000 worth of Bitcoin to their control. We asked the victim how to track it since they know Bitcoin better than us. Then why? Then why do you call the police? Why don't you have some Bitcoin sitting
around? They said there is no way. No, that's just not true.
They said there is no way. They're wrong. They're stupid.
Wait, let's just look at your wallet. Oh, here's the address that you sent it to.
Well, okay, you can actually, I mean, some people have been traced that way, and they talk about in this article how there's a whole new class of forensic detective companies that will try to see where it goes. But really, it can be a dead end if they're smart because they just, you know, go on a VPN. I mean, I could explain how you could do this for theoretical purposes. You'd go to, you know, Best Buy. You'd buy an air-gapped computer. You'd buy a Windows computer that's never been used. You know, you'd take it to a hotel or an internet cafe. No, you'd take it to somewhere that doesn't have cameras. Or probably the best thing would be drive around until you find an open Wi-Fi signal. Park in front of someone's house. Use their Wi-Fi or a library. A lot of times libraries have what's his name? James. There was a fiend. James from...
James Babb? James...
Yeah, no. Yeah, James Babb used to do the fiends when his family would go on vacation. He would do the fiends, at 1 in the morning to 3 in the morning.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Like, in his car, in strange towns where he didn't live, like... parked in front of the public library, like sitting in his car with a little, you know, the little blue glow of this microphone. Like more than once, the police asked him, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Oh, I'm doing a radio show." But you'd park in front. I'm not telling people how to get away with crimes. I'm telling people how to prevent crimes by knowing that this is how it would happen. So if they had your Bitcoin, let's say on their wallet, then they'd. And it'd be a wallet they've never used before and never use again. It's easy to make a new address. They'd go park outside a library where there's no camera pointing at them, get on the Wi-Fi, and basically download Linux onto that computer. And I would probably recommend Puppy Linux, which I recommend for people to secure their wallets too. Puppy Linux is a very light version of Linux that is, I think the whole install is like 4 gigabytes, and it can fit on a USB drive, a thumb drive, and it can work on a computer without ever touching the hard drive of the computer. It can work completely in the memory of a computer. It's so light. And then you can save whatever your work encrypted to the USB drive. Ooh. It's really a flawless way of doing it. And, you know, people always say, like, oh, Free State Wyoming it doesn't have any people. It's not like Free State New Hampshire, which has a lot. Here's the thing. There's a bunch of people in Free State Wyoming, but they don't take selfies and brag on the internet and chase cops, you know, meter maids around and film it. They like all community. They're like cowboys who use Linux, literally. You know, they're open carry cowboys who've been doing that since before most people knew what open carry was, who communicate using encrypted Linux, you know, communication and encrypted email. And maybe, allegedly, at least in the book, in Boston Tea Party's books, that's discussed. Boston also says you should own things quietly. He said own guns quietly, own gold quietly. This is back when gold was a thing. And not the pet rocket is you cash in now to buy Bitcoin. Just kidding. It's good to have some gold.
It's still good. Sure. I mean, yeah. Why not? You know.
Yeah.
But really, I'm going to own more crypto.
Yeah. So these people, I lost my crypto in a boating accident, which is what people say about guns. I'll just say that on the air because I'm sitting here telling people to own things quietly.
Yeah, you're right.
If I had enough money for a Lambo, I wouldn't buy a Lambo. I mean, you know, first of all, if you have enough money for a Lambo, you have a lot more money than the price of a Lambo. If you can spend that on a car, if I had that kind of money, I wouldn't buy a Lambo. I'd buy like 40 acres out in the sticks in Wyoming, and you know, a good Ford King cab and crew cab, and just disappear, man, and just exactly. Do the show. Yeah, get satellite internet and do the show. There'd be like a 2-second delay. So this picture is so sad. It's like, it's this couple, this young, hip-looking Russian couple. The kid, the dude, looks like Mark Zuckerberg. Actually, he looks more like the guy who looks like Mark Zuckerberg in that show Silicon Valley, that amazing HBO TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like that guy. Like, what's his name, the character's name? Hendrix? Yeah.
Michael Cera.
Hendrix. No. Yeah, no. Michael Zirik also looks like Michael Zirik's the guy that played Zuckerberg. By the way, have you seen how ridiculous Facebook's getting? Like, they're getting to the point where if you post a link, they punish you. Like, they, you know, the more links you post, the less they let people see your stuff. Like, they're trying to be like AOL. They want to keep you in their walled garden. They don't want you to learn anything. They want you to be on there, like, you know, sharing memes and about Minion and Disney TV shows with people you went to high school with. That's what Zuckerberg is trying to do with his, you know, I want more meaningful conversations. And since they've tried to push that social engineering with their algorithms, their stock price has gone way down and their usership has gone down. People are like, this is ridiculous, man. They just go on Facebook to like meet the people and then go talk on Telegram encrypted or something. So this picture is two police in this nice hotel room with this sad couple sitting on this really nice couch, sitting on the, what did you call it? The you lost all your Bitcoin sadness couch.
Yeah, that's basically it. you lost a lot of Bitcoin sadness couch.
Why would you call the police, man? Never call the police. Never talk to the police.
And I just don't trust the journalism in this article. We asked them how to check the receiver. They said there is no way. Wait a second. Any Bitcoin user who's holding 100 grand in Bitcoin or any crypto knows that, of course, there is a way. How did you destroy every single access to this wallet?
Well, I have a friend that lost 84 Bitcoin, which is what, like $750,000? No, it's $1 million. Is it? No. No. 100
did he lose, though, the entire... Oh, yeah, so he lost
the password. Got hacked. He got hacked. No, he lost his... I figured it out for him. Like, he called me when it happened. Like, ooh, Michael, I think something happened. He called me in the middle of the night. Fiends. Yeah. Yeah, worms.
Go to
freedomfiends.com. He got his Gmail hacked. That's how it all happened.
Keep it drone-proof.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck.
Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
Yeah. Yeah, so there was a
Freedom
thing.
Freedom Fiends are back.
What? Yeah, we're back.
Yeah, we're back.
Cryptos are back. You know, they're all up like 25% or so from last week. A lot of them are. A lot of the top 10s or more. I like that just because I'm rooting for this thing. I don't have any. No, never me. But rooting for this thing. I want it to go. I want it to take off. I hope this crypto thing takes off. It's funny because Congress is like trying to figure out what to do about it now. And I'm like, man, cow's out of the barn. You know what Biden did? So Joe Biden tried to pass a law about 20 years ago to outlaw encryption, like to require governments to have backdoor, and that's just out, impossible to stop now. I mean, they could stop, you know, Telegram from working in the App Store, but they can't stop PGP email from working. Or you know, encrypting a file and emailing it to someone, or doing what WikiLeaks did, which was release 45 gigs of data that was encrypted, called insurance. I think the idea is that if without releasing a password, I think the idea is that, you know, if they ever like have what's his name from WikiLeaks, what's his name, that hero.
Julian Assange.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, like if they ever, you know, if they ever like arrest him, you know, and then the reporter sticks the microphone in his face, he probably says the password over and over, you know, and then everyone gets encrypted.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's got information on, you know, every politician and every banker ever, probably.
Well, politics for ugly people. I mean, sorry, Hollywood
politics
for ugly people.
Yeah, yeah, politics. DC is Hollywood for ugly people. That's what I've heard about politics.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
all politicians are sociopaths, man. If you think, you know, there's a line in that song "Ball of Confusion," that Motown song. Vote for me, and I'll set you free. Yeah,
right, I remember
that. Which is ridiculous. Yeah. I think Love and Rockets did a great cover of it. And then there's actually in the show The Shield, one of the cop shows, it was my secret, you know, guilty pleasure, because it's just such good writing.
Yeah.
Well, I was rooting
no,
for
I understand.
But,
you know. I mean, some of these people are very clever, the way they get the perps.
Well, for some reason, though, the best writing seems to end up on cop shows in TV a lot of times, or used to. Now with the golden age of TV we're having with, you know, Amazon and Netflix making TV, it's
my
politics.
Tinfoil hat is tingling when you say that.
Yeah? It's twitching?
It's twitching. Because,
why?
Because perception management, Michael. That's why. Because
you think
I don't
the show House of Cards is, like, financed by Obama or something?
I think it's mostly perception management. It gets people to think, oh, this is the way it really is, right?
Well, it is. That's the disgusting thing, is, like, you know... Yeah, like there's a lot of liberals who like rooted for Frank Underwood until it turns out that, like, you know, he had sex 50 years ago that he doesn't remember. Yeah, his apology was lame. Like, I don't know. I might have. I was drinking a lot. If I did, I'm sorry. No, never apologize.
Frank Underwood.
I'm not saying you should molest people. I'm saying never. Just don't talk to the press. Yeah, the family, the kid that shot all the people, like, there's an interview with his parents. Never talk to the... Consider talking to the press in that situation, like talking to the police. I mean, do you remember when, the guy who shot up Vegas, they talked to his brother? Like, his brother sounded insane, you know? Did you see that interview?
I never saw that one, but
don't talk to the press people. They're not gonna. Yeah. They're not gonna. They're gonna tell you, "Oh, we want to get your story out, let you tell your side of it." They teach that in journalism school. I went to school and took communication, which was like journalism back then. And yeah, they just want a story. They just want to sell eyeballs and papers and wavelengths.
Now, if you want to capitalize on that publicity and really make some serious money, that's a different
thing. Make a book deal.
Exactly.
Or yeah, something. And you know, if you're the killer, you can't make a book deal. But if you're his brother, you probably can.
Oh, of course. Because what were you? Like, you're the brother. You know. So
I'm not the brother. My brother's boring. Yeah. My brother didn't kill anybody. Wait, that sounds wrong.
We've both got brothers that could use more excitement. For
my brother's in Florida,
our
though.
Personal pleasure.
Yeah. Our personal pleasure. Wow.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, this is going to soon be the end of this hour. And we're going to talk about charities. The word I was looking for was charities. The things where people give money for good things. That was a weird freaking thought bubble.
And also when we get back, we're going to also thought fart onto health topics.
You know? GERD. GERD.
GERD.
It's GERD.
It sounds take care of your health, everyone. You know,
we're
seriously.
Out. No, we're not.
We'll be back with this.
Yeah. Worms.
Now.
Worms.
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 Marcus.
Worms.
To the market. Worms.
I love doing shows with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live from the amygdala of liberty. We activate your mirror neurons with the spooky sounds of a serotonin splash at a distance. Can you feel that serotonin splash, Mike?
That was it. I felt it.
That was it.
Oh my.
Freedom Fiends is covered by no government license. This allows for use by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, I'll
that's Brava, Indio, Papa, China.
Indio.
Tango work.
It's on your mind,
org.
Son.
That was plenty. So
God just told me I'm too loud. God is what we call the board op. It's the voice in my ear. Just told me I'm too loud. So
it is a powerful voice.
Yeah. It is. So let's see. What did we cover? Puppy Linux, Facebook's algorithms, Bitcoin muggers, charities, Cell 411. Oh, I want to talk about the Amish and HTTPS. So the Amish, so there's, you know how people always, liberals, how sheep always say when there's a school, a public shooting, we need to ban guns. My children's safety is more important than your right to, than your Second Amendment rights.
I've heard this before.
Yeah, I don't use the term Second Amendment. I prefer the right to keep and bear arms because, yeah, Second Amendment is something that's written down on paper. The right to keep and bear arms is something that God or nature paints on your soul at birth. Children, babies, have the right to keep and bear arms. They do.
Yeah, they're kind of waving them around. Yeah.
There was a kid in Idaho who was being bullied at I think he's a homeschooler, but he was like small and weird and being bullied all around town. And he was 16 and he looked like 12. I saw a picture of him. He was really small. And he started open carrying with his parents. As his parents' idea, he started open carrying a .22 rifle, which is legal in Idaho with your parents' permission if you're 16 or over. And all of a sudden, people stopped bullying him. It's kind of interesting. And, you know, there are actually schools where teachers are armed now, and there's never a school shooting there. Like, people pick schools because they're, you know, what's the term? Target-rich environments, as they say in the military. Yeah. Yeah. You know, because it's like...
My tinfoil hat is so tingling here, I gotta say.
You keep saying that. So this meme that I saw was a picture of an Amish person, and it said, cars kill 150,000 Americans a year. My children's safety is more important than your right to drive a car. I thought that was pretty funny.
I thought it was very apropos. Yeah. That's the way it goes, because, you know, it just comes down to property rights, or how about this respect of other people doing what they want with what's their own stuff. Obviously, if it crosses over onto your stuff, well, then that's a big problem. But yeah, that's what it comes down to. It's like, so we're talking about what, the people who don't respect these boundaries of who owns what stuff, so they want to, say, cross over and take certain things like guns away? Somehow.
Yeah. Somehow. I think it's not the fault of the gun. It's the fault of AR-15s. That's why AKs are better. AKs are never... I'm kidding. AKs are rarely used in shootings in America or in crimes, period. I guess gangsters use them on each other, but... Yeah. AR-15 seems to be the... What?
Gangster shootings.
I thought you said thanks for shooting.
And thank you for shooting.
I turn you up.
So, no, I mean, I know that I'm definitely lip-touching the foam of the microphone, you know.
Yeah, but I turned everyone down when God told me I was too loud.
Turn everyone else down. That's what he meant by turn yourself.
I know. This is one of my favorite lines is, everyone louder than everyone else. There's an album, Deep Purple Live in Tokyo, from like 1970-ish, that I liked as a kid. And there's a point where between songs, you can hear the singer telling everyone to, saying something about the monitors. Or the guitar player says, like, yes, turn me up in the monitor. And the singer says, yes, yes, make everyone louder than everyone else.
So why did you... Why did you bring up open carrying as a way of...
Opiate carrying?
Open
carrying. That's libertarian paradise carrying. Opiate carrying. But no, we don't endorse drugs here. Well, I mean
what sparked the whole thought?
You can do what you
process.
Want.
You can do what you want.
An open carry?
Property. Yeah.
Guns, kids protecting...
Segue.
Protecting against
the Florida
bullies.
Thing, right? There was something going on there.
You know, I didn't know open carry existed at one point, like 12 years ago, shortly after I got married. My wife and I had someone tried to break into our house while I was there and she was at the store. I was really sick and she went to go get like tea and NyQuil, some tea and sympathy and NyQuil. And while she was gone, someone tried to break in the house. And this is back when I wasn't woke, and I called... Well, first of all, this is crazy. I went outside without... I went outside with my wireless phone, you know, wireless landline phone in one hand, and a stun gun in the other hand. That was the only weapon I really had. This is before I had guns. Uh-huh. This is how we ended up getting guns. And I went out there, and there was this guy, like... probably 50-year-old, kind of plump, kind of like really drunk dude. I could smell him like 15 feet away or 20 feet away. I could smell alcohol on him. And he was of the Mexican persuasion. And he was trying to break in our window with a stick. He was trying to pry the screen off and get into the window with a stick. So I said, what the F are you doing? Get off my property. He's like, oh, I thought that was my house. I can't do his accent, but he was Mexican. And he said, I thought it was my house. And I was like, you know, kind of like I pressed the button on the, from like 15, 20 feet away, I pressed the button on the shocker, you know, and he like shuffled off. And I called the police, which I wouldn't do now. I called the police. And this is kind of surprising, like, because this was in a kind of nice town, like an upscale town, Agoura Hills, California, if you want to Google it. Not It's not spelled like agorism. That's funny, though. I lived in Agora. It's A-G-O-U-R-A. It's a different root. And it's basically the back lot of Hollywood. It's like 33 miles from Hollywood. It's just outside the TMZ, the 30-mile zone, as they call it. That's what TMZ means. You knew that, right?
TMZ. 30-mile zone. DMZ, the demilitarized zone.
No, it means 30-mile zone. It means, like, Hollywood and what happens around it. But outside of it, like, barely still in L.A. County, like, out in the sticks, like, you know, coyotes in the backyard kind of thing.
Laurel Canyon.
No, like Laurel Canyon's there. In L.A., but it's kind of, you know, country-ish.
That's where the various, like, movie stars.
The CIA rock musician factory. Yeah. The sheep factory. Yeah. The low sheep heart, factory. The low spark of high-heeled sheep factories. Yeah. No, this is way out there, like where they, you know, film westerns. It's the sticks. And so this guy was trying to break in the house, and I called the police. The police caught him. Can you believe that? I mean, never does that happen. Like, the police, you know, because it was a slow night. The police were, you know, in richer towns, you know, we lived in the poorer part of the richer town. When you live in a rich town, like, the police get there quicker and, like, actually try to solve the crime, you know, because you probably know the mayor and golf with him or something and can, you know, get the cop in trouble. Whereas poor people, they're just like, you know, they just show up and shoot you. So, and take your Bitcoin. So, the cops they found the guy and they came back to my house like 5 minutes later and they're like, we found him. Can you ID him? And they brought me out and, you know, shined the front of the car lights on him. And it was definitely him.
Wow.
No mistake. I mean, same. He had interesting, different clothing on that was unique. And I definitely tell it was him. And he had the stick in his pocket. Okay. How stupid of a guy is this? Like, burglar who has burglary tools that literally look like everything on the ground. And instead of dropping it on the ground, put it in his pocket.
But the stick was going to come in handy next time.
Yeah. Well, it turns out he actually did think it was his house because somebody was subletting. It was in one of those places where all the houses look the same, like there's a homeowners association, and they look identical. There was somebody like five houses down that was renting their house out to, like, you know, like 20 day laborers, and they didn't all have a key. Yeah. I don't think they prosecuted. I don't know what they did. They probably just let him go the next day. But, yeah, man, so that scared us. So we got guns. And then I bought this book on shotguns because we bought a shotgun on Amazon. And it said, people who bought this book also bought You and the Police by Boston Tea Party. And I read that. And in one sitting, I became a libertarian reading that book. Became from statist to minarchist. Then it takes, like, you know, that's the 900 miles. Then it takes, like, a lot to go the last 100 miles. You know, the last mile even to totally.
Oh, you were beginning to be woke through an Amazon purchase.
Yeah, it woke me, that book. Like, yeah, Boston Tea. Yeah, like, you know, an Amazon purchase that if you posted on Facebook, Facebook would bury it and not share your posts with your friends who want to see your posts. But, yeah, so that book mentioned open carry, and I got to the, you know, he's like, if you live in a state that is not open carry friendly, and he actually suggested, like, here's a way to carry a gun legally and not get caught in a place that's not legal, you know, and he basically said, like, have a brief, he said, keep your car immaculate, you know, don't be one of these, and have your license and register to date, don't be one of these, like, drive, you know, cardboard license plate idiots. I mean, I respect them for effort, but no, that's not how you stay out of the maw of the state. That's how you get in the maw of the state.
Exactly.
So, you know, he just basically said, like, look square, have your car look square, have your car legal, you know, and have a locking briefcase next to your car. Next to you, like, you know, if you're driving alone, like in the passenger seat, and have your gun in it and have it open. And he said, if you get pulled over, like, while you practice this too, like, while you're, you know, before you get pulled over, practice reaching over and shutting it so it locks without swerving or looking like you're doing something or reaching for something. You know, because legally, the cops have less rights. I mean, they have a right to pat you down and look in your area of a car, like grabbable area of a car, you know, line of sight when they pull you over. But they don't have the right to open a locked container. It's kind of interesting. So, yeah, And he also said, like, another trick he said, and I'm not recommending anyone break the law, but interesting things in this book that got me woke real quick. He said, like, if you're getting pulled over by the police and you really have something you don't want the police to find, pull over, park legally, get out of the car and lock it. And they just stand there. Yeah.
When we come back, we'll figure out how to deal with how all this using cell 411.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Biptunia, music for the drive to Alpha Centauri. Biptunia's influences are Gary Numan, Brian Eno, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, Robert Fripp, Blondie, Kraftwerk, and Dead Kennedys. Biptunia styles are trip-hop, rock, pop, glam, industrial, ambient, jazz, and space. Plus, it's got cats and is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. You can download Biptunia's music free. Go to biptunia.com. That's B-I-P-T-U-N-I-A. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha. Biptunia.com.
Being athletic is not for squares. Doing sports is not for squares. Watching sports and being involved in it is for squares.
It gets in the way.
It does.
I mean, but what about betting on sports and making a lot of money?
That's fine. Whatever floats your boat. Hey, here's something. Weed won't cause brain damage the way alcohol will. Scientific study finds from the researchers at University of Colorado, Boulder. Yeah. I'm not going to dismiss them just because they're all smoking pot. Everyone in that state does. But, yeah, man.
Isn't that what happens everywhere?
Washington people smoke pot.
As far as
scientists smoke pot because they are smart.
Pretty much, like, I think 2/3 or, I don't know, like, something in the 50-60% of people that I encounter.
Yeah. Well, you live in Hawaii. Yeah. But in the world, here, yeah, like, you know. I don't know if a majority of people regularly smoke marijuana in general in America, but I'm wondering. I know for a fact that a majority of people think it should be less criminal than it is, you know, which is weird, man. It's like, you know, they say, oh, if you don't like the law, get involved and change it. And, you know, like 40 years of billions of dollars and millions of human hours have been spent working on decriminalizing marijuana. And, like, you know, I know six states, it's three, four states, it's legal. About over half the states, some form of medical marijuana is legal. And yet, you know, the federal government, it's still illegal. And they still want to, like, they still break in down doors and, you know, ruin people's lives over this plant that is literally less harmful than alcohol. You know, I don't usually make this argument, but I just, it's
horrible,
man.
What's the argument?
The argument is that the most dangerous thing about marijuana is the government.
I think when it comes to making things prohibited, it's all about making money. That's why I keep saying every single show, if you mention prohibition, I would say, yeah, it made a commodity into a super commodity, and that makes that a special thing that only a special government can trade in and make serious money with. And they put that into their black ops projects, which makes my tinfoil hat kind of itchy, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, here's the thing that's not hidden at all, and you don't need a tinfoil hat to know which way the wind blows with this, is they had ballot initiatives to legalize marijuana in California for recreational use. They legalized it for medical use, I think, legislatively. And then they had a ballot initiative. They let the people vote, which is ridiculous. That's saying, like, you know, if your neighbor thinks you shouldn't do something on your own property with your own body that is less harmful than alcohol, then it should remain illegal. But, you know, it's better than keeping it illegal. So they had a vote, and it failed like two or three years in a row, and then it finally passed. And the 2 or 3 years, all the years that they tried that, one of the reasons that it failed was that the police union put millions of dollars into lobbyists and advertising, false advertising, allegedly, to keep it illegal. You know, they said, oh, it leads to violence. No, it leads to the to violence because it's illegal. Like, basically, if pots, like, people don't remember when alcohol was illegal. No, you don't, because you're not 100. But when alcohol was illegal in America for a few years around the Great Depression time, boy, when you really need a drink and you really need to stimulate the economy. Alcohol was illegal, and all of a sudden there were people, there was blood in the streets, there were gangs shooting each other out over who gets to sell the tainted alcohol in the area. Actually, they weren't selling tainted alcohol. The government was seizing alcohol, opening it up, tainting it with poison, and resealing it. And people were going blind because the government was denaturing alcohol. Nima Vedati and I decided at one point that the government denatures everything. They take the nature out of nature. They denature everything.
That's pretty much it.
So, and, you know, they say, and then they change the history. They teach in public school that during Prohibition, they spinned it so it sounded like without the government taxing and regulating alcohol, you end up with toxic alcohol. No, you know, people don't want to. It costs more to add the poison. People don't want to poison their clients, because then they're dead. Yeah, they want repeat business.
Yep.
The government was poisoning people. So, but liquor was not that common in America. It was beer. Everyone drank beer. But when beer became illegal, they went. You couldn't get beer. Like, beer was way more expensive than liquor, because liquor is a lot easier to smuggle because you need less of it to get drunk. And the same thing's happened with drugs. With the war on drugs, on marijuana, has made heroin, cocaine, and speed much cheaper, much more available, because they're a lot easier to smuggle. A suitcase worth of coke is worth a truckload of marijuana, you know?
And when we come back, we'll figure out the exact ratios needed to, you know, balance your budget.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Oh, man. This is funny.
I make sure to always send Michael perfect address description of where I am, so he knows where I am. But certain people don't need to know where we are.
Yeah.
So, huh. We don't talk about them.
Man, MK Lords is saying horrible things about the creator of Cell 411, but I think that says more things about MK Lords than about Cell 411.
Which is... You can find out more at getcell411.com. Cell411.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just, it is an excellent app. I'm connected to local people on it. I didn't use it to connect to you over there because you really can't help me over there from as easily
I know.
Physically.
Although,
speaking.
You know, I do have a couple people on my Cell411 that are not in my town because. You know, it sends footage to people. So some people I trust who would get the footage out if I needed to would be able to access it. Let's see. So I'm quoting Bob Dylan. Well, actually, Cash Newman sitting next to me responding to MK Lords, quoting her, saying, "I don't believe you. You're a liar." You know where he said that? Do you remember that?
No.
When he went electric. The first time when he played electric and half the audience booed and half of them loved it, somebody stood up between songs and yelled at him and said something bad. I don't know what, you can't really hear what the guy's saying. And Bob Dylan, it's like the weirdest thing to say to a heckler. "I don't believe you. You're a liar." But yeah, Lords is definitely a liar. All right. So
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't be a fiend and then be horrible and then, you know. I don't know. There's ex-fiends. I don't say bad things about Jim Jesus or Jim Babb.
Well, I think it's time where we can build a bridge of empathy to everyone, even Stefan Molyneux, you know? What do you think?
Ew! No. No.
Okay, maybe no, not. We can't build a bridge to everyone.
No.
No? Okay.
No. Nope.
So, I'm just... Nope. It was an offer, and denied. That's fine.
Yep. Wow, Jim Jesus clicked like on this.
Wow. Who else clicked like on this? I gotta get to this Facebook page.
Nah, I don't know. Brian Sovereign picked like on it? Man, Ben Stone clicked like on it? No, come on. That must be a mistake. I don't believe you, Ben Stone. Well, you know, maybe
I'd like to have him.
Else.
I'd like to hear his side of the story.
Yeah, Ben. Yeah. All right. So, I want to talk about GERD. Let's talk about HTTPS. So, what is HTTPS?
It's like HTTP with the S stands for security.
Yeah.
So, hypertext something.
Oh,
something.
Don't get too technical. So, it's the, you know, when you look at the address of a website, actually, a lot of sites hide that now. It's kind of weird. A lot of browsers hide that. I enable it to see if it's HTTP or HTTPS. But you can kind of tell anyway, because HTTPS has a little lock if it's secure. And if it's if everything on the page is secure, it's green. If there's mixed content, like the page is secure, but maybe there's some embedded images that aren't, then it's a lock that's gray. And if it's insecure, there's no lock. But Google has a plan to fix the internet or fix a problem with it. So HTTP without the S, HTTP, you know, non-secure, no SSL cert, is insecure. Anybody can see what you're, you know, like sending to that website. It's really easy to do a man-in-the-middle attack without HTTPS, you know, where like, I mean, and someone said like, well, what's the problem? I mean, you know, that doesn't, you know, if HTTP, you know, what if it's a site where I'm not sending my credit card info? Well, somebody could fake that site a lot easier if it's not secure, you know, where you think you're on the Freedom Fiends and you think you're sending a donation to our Bitcoin address, but you're really sending it to Russian scammers. That's an example.
Right.
Or, you know, like, downloading you know, like the website for some program, downloading the file, like it could be a fake version of the website that looks identical, which is really easy to do. You just download the files. And it could be the same domain. It could be correct, but it's not the right site. And they could have, you know, some kind of payload mixed in with the actual program. So when you install the program, you're also installing a backdoor for someone to steal your crypto. Or, you know, anything.
Or other nefarious things.
Yeah. So HTTPS is important. So this week, I made all my sites HTTPS with the help of Derek Slopey from Agorist Hosting. Google Agorist Hosting and go to Agorist Hosting. I would spell it out, but no one can spell Agorist, so let Google correct your spelling. Put in Agorist. Go ahead.
You can spell it, but didn't he invent FiendPhone?
Yeah, he did the programming on FiendPhone. I came up with the concept, and he and I worked together until it was perfect. And we're talking over it now. It's like, you know, we're using our computers and free software. FiendPhone from FiendPhone.com, which is covered by the BIPCOT, no government license. So HTTPS is important. So Google has a plan, which is to make it so sites that don't say HTTPS that aren't secure, they're going to list them as unsecure. Like now they just don't say secure, but they're going to say insecure, which, you know, is going to scare people. Like they're going to, and rightly so. So they're going to start doing that in July. So I figured that was a good time to make everything HTTPS, and you can do that free on agoristhosting.net.
Whoa.
Yeah, a lot of places like HostGator charges like $100 for it. Oh, I quit HostGator today in a huff after I moved all my files over to from all my sites. It used to be Freedom Fiends was on Agorist Hosting, but now all my sites, all 10 of them, are over there, and they're all HTTPS.
And I'm going to ask my webmaster about that.
Yes, ask your webmaster. Ask your webmaster. Yeah. And ask your webmaster if HTTPS is important, and if they say no, get a new webmaster. I am my own webmaster of my own domains. But
of course you are, because you've been doing computers since you were, I don't know, like
in the 11 years old. I've administered websites since 1996, and they've all broken my heart, except for Agris Hosting. Oh, agrishosting.com. They also have Open Bazaar hosting, which is going to be really cool now that Open Bazaar is taking Bitcoin Cash instead of just Bitcoin. It's a decentralized website. Well, it's a decentralized type of stuff. Yeah, it's cool.
It's
peep. It's not really decentralized, though, if you're hosting
somewhere. We're talking woke, basically. Very highly woke.
It's woke. It's very woke.
Yeah. Well, that was convincing.
Yep.
All of this is technology that enhances freedom. Just keep this in mind. If anyone is out there listening and you're a little confused as to what's the utility of understanding HTTP, HTTPS, what's the difference? Let's just say gathering a small piece of information is just like, this is important in this way. Here's how to use it. And you either can do it yourself, like I think you do, Michael, or you can hire someone else to do, and apparently that's what I do, is I pay someone else to basically manage my sites, and, there's always room for improvement. So, there you go.
Yeah. Well, yep.
I mean, this makes sense, and so you just hook everything up through the proper... You have to understand where to... you understand...
Where to put in your SSL certs, and you can do that on Agris Hosting free. So HostGator charges like $100 per domain to do that. It would have cost me like $1,000 to do all 10 of my sites, and it was free on Agris Hosting, and I recommend doing it. So I quit HostGator in a huff, and I'm paid there through like July, and I told them that they had become horrible, and I'd really like a prorated refund for the rest of what I paid for, the next like 4 months or something. And like, sorry, we only do that in the first 7 days, and I've been on there for like 10 years. They've just gotten worse and worse and worse. And I, since they won't give it, well, I was gonna do this anyway, they won't give me a refund, but they don't know who they're talking to. I'm on the Freedom Fiends, so I'll tell people, don't use them and don't be friends with MK Lords. Both are toxic. HostGator and MK Lords. You could do better than both of those. I think she uses HostGator, probably. I bet.
So just like you can study computer health, and that's how you understood the proper security system to, use for your hosting, you could also study the health of your body, And that's how you learned about GERD. Is that true?
I'm looking at related posts here, like Cash Newman's related posts about Virgil. This is kind of funny. Oh. Virgil writing FEE, fee, is that the thing?
Yeah, Lawrence the Foundation for Economic Education.
Yeah, and he said, what size donation would I have to make to fee for you guys to fire Jeffrey Tucker? Name the amount. Yeah, he was like, I think he has a one Bitcoin
bounty
on Jeffrey Tucker, not on hurting him physically, but on proving that he wrote the racist Ron Paul newsletters, which aren't really that racist. You ever read them? It basically says black people commit crimes, which, I guess that's racist if you're a liberal. But yeah,
I guess it is.
Virgil's great. Virgil's like you know how people say like if I will he has FU money basically, yeah.
I think he's seems like a fun guy to deal with basically.
Yeah, he is. I really like him a lot. He's the only advertiser we've ever had on the Freedom Fiends too. That's cool.
I noticed that. I was just like, oh my god, we're doing advertisements for someone, and I'm like, oh, it's Virgil. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because, his service, Cell411, that's a mitzvah, honestly.
It is. Yeah, I would say, Bitcoin does the most as far as software to defeat tyranny, and I would say the second most is Cell411. I also like this meme that shows up related to Virgil for some reason. Cigarettes are like squirrels. They are perfectly harmless until you put one in your mouth and light it on fire.
That is brilliant, man. Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, really, there's the way that Virgil communicates on Facebook is very different than, say, the way he does business with chill people.
Yeah.
And he has great advice on his groups, you know.
Yeah. He did something funny, too, was he got blocked at one point. You know, Facebook likes to block people for things that Facebook doesn't like. You know, he got a timeout. And he was advertising on Facebook, and he wrote him and said, I'm going to pull my ads, and they unblocked him. So they don't really care about what you say. They care about money only. I love
we'll
that
be back
he
with,
could do that. Worms. Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fictional.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep. But always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback and for the first time on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends related things, please rate and review. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
Welcome back.
GERD. What's GERD stand for?
GERD.
Gastroesophageal reflex disease.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
occurs when stomach acid frequently flows back into the tube connecting your mouth and stomach, which is the esophagus. This backwash can irritate the lining of your esophagus, and if it burns through your esophagus, that can go further into places like, say, your lungs.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So. So you fixed all that, right? Because you're a genius.
Yeah.
How?
Well, so I had life-threatening GERD. I have a lot of problems. I have a lot of... I have problems. I'm a victim. No, I'm not a victim. But I'm a victim of myself because I smoked for 30 years. 2 packs a day. So that's 60 pack years in doctor vernacular. Which is still a lot.
Wow.
And I did not get lung cancer, which is great. But I did get emphysema. And I had asthma as a kid. And I'm allergic to smoke. And I still smoked. So I'm an idiot. You know, if I had everything to do over in my life, the only thing I'd do different is not smoke. Yeah. So, seriously, that's the only mistake I made that I would wish I had to do over. Because I have to be on oxygen at night. I'm on CPAP. I'm on VPAP, which is CPAP plus. It's like life support. Like if I stopped breathing, like I did a sleep study. They said I had more sleep interruptions than they'd ever seen. And this is a lady who does this for a living. And I had 145 events per hour where I stopped breathing for a few seconds or more. That's like 3 a minute. Man, it's not good. So I also had GERD. I have a lot of problems. So, but I'm a lot healthier than I was 3.5 years ago. I actually swept, I actually went out and shoveled my porch today. It's a pretty small porch, and it made me really faint, and I came in and put on oxygen and measured my heart and oxygen, and my oxygen was good because I was hyperventilating. I mean, they were talking to, like, you know, a 4x5 porch with 2 steps, like, and like, you know, 9 inches of snow. But shoveling that off, like, my heart rate went up to 145 beats a minute, which is like, you know, hospital. If that If that persists, that's like hospitalization level. But, you know, within a minute, it was down to 100 beats a minute. And then within 5 minutes, it was down to like, you know, 89 or something. So, but I couldn't even like walk out there 3 years ago. Like going to the garage to get the shovel would have, you know, knocked me. Like literally, I was that sick. And And that's back when, no, I'm not going to talk about MK Lawrence anymore. I've told you what Bob Dylan said about her. But, I'm getting better slowly. And part of it is I had GERD so bad that stomach acid was going into my lungs and it was burning. This is before I got on oxygen and cleaned up my hand a bit. You know, I'd quit smoking, but I was still vaping. And then I stopped vaping because it was killing me. Because I went to the doctor and they're like, you know, you got to stop doing all this. And I should have listened to the doctors that told me that 30 years earlier, but I finally stopped. You know, people say, oh, vaping's safe. Well, it's not as bad as cigarettes, but you're still putting crap in your lungs that it's not meant to have. And I say this, and vaping, people are religious about vaping. And people are also, a lot of libertarians like vaping and think it's actually good for you, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it helps you like touch into liberty when you suck on electronic vapor. You know?
Well, I think there's a lot of libertarians who are basically children with no ability to logic, as they say. And they think that if the government says something bad is bad, it must be good for you. Yeah. So
anyway, vaping helps you touch, you know, feel liberty inside.
I guess the big clouds of
So how'd you cure it?
Yeah. So
I cured
the GERD by a couple things. Well, I didn't cure it. I'm managing it. So one thing a nurse told me, this was amazing, was raise my bed 5 degrees, like put bricks under the head of my bed, so I'm not lying flat. Secondly, taking ritalin. You know, it's generic, but you know, it's the same as, I don't know, whatever it is. What is ritalin?
That I have to look up, but go on.
Yeah,
and
Zantac.
Then what's the next
Zantac. I take two of those a day. And I eat a little better, don't eat as much GERDy food. But yeah, really, the tilting the bed and taking the ritalin twice a day. And I'm not giving medical advice, I'm saying what worked for me. What else helped?
And that's redemption, you know, right there.
It's that easy.
You can go out there. Yeah. You can research what to do to better yourself. Just, you know. And thanks for making a great show with me, Michael.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome.
It was wonderful. Stick around. We'll have an after show.
Yeah.
Some aftercare.